Amen. You may be seated.
In our sermon series on 1 Timothy, picking up at 1 Timothy 5, Pastor Thurman Williams is going to be preaching for us this morning. I think we have four more sermons left in 1 Timothy, assuming there won't be any random snowstorms happening in the next 4 weeks or, you know, disasters or natural events. So, but we're almost through the letter for 1 Timothy, and Pastor Thurman will be opening up 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 through 16 this morning. So, Pastor Thurman, thank you for being with us.
Yep.
Thanks, sir.
Well, good morning. I was checking the clock, make sure it's still morning. Man, thank you for that breakfast too. That was great. Amen. You guys are good. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5, we'll be in verses 1 through 16. And we're continuing in the series, The Goal is Love. The last message was a couple of weeks ago from Pastor Roy in 1 Timothy 4, the ending of that chapter. So really some great instructions for Timothy as a young preacher. And so the young preacher was preaching about the young preacher last time. So now we have an older preacher preaching about ministry to older people here in the church. Now, in the first couple of verses of 1 Timothy 5, he talks about ministry to older men and older women and younger women. But what we're going to focus on is from 3 to 16 in particular. And that is ministry to widows. And if you look at that, it is so vitally important that it's actually 12% of the whole book, the whole letter to 1 Timothy is this section about caring for widows. If you add up all the verses in chapter 3 on elders and deacons, it's the same number, just as right here, that it talks about in caring for widows. It's that important for the people of God. And so the theme that I want to talk about this morning is the blessing of widows. The blessing of widows. Now here, the reading of God's word from 1 Timothy 5, beginning with verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers, older women like mothers, younger women like sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead, even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she's brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows. For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house. And not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. And in verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are really widows. This is God's word. Let's open together with the word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for this time to come together around your word. Lord, your word testifies about itself that it's God-breathed and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Lord, we need all of those things. So we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would move in this place. Holy Spirit, be poured out upon us so that we can understand these words that we read from the Word of God. But not only that, we also pray that you would fill us, Holy Spirit, so that we leave this place filled with your power and having the power to be able to walk as you've called us to in this passage. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of widows. And we pray that you would impress that upon our hearts in this time. We pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I heard a story of a widow who lived next door to an atheist. And she would talk to him. This is a believing woman. She would talk to him about the Lord all the time. And he'd just get madder and madder. He doesn't want to hear it. He'd say, there's no such thing as God. Stop talking to me about this. Well, one day, he goes over to her house to try and harass her some more. And he can hear her through the door praying. And he hears her praying. And she says, Lord, I don't have any food. There's nothing in the refrigerator. There's nothing in the cabinets. But Lord, I know you'll provide for me. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but I pray that you would provide. I don't have any money, but I pray that you would provide, Lord. And then he's listening to that and he says, oh, I'm going to show her. I'm going to buy her some groceries. And so he goes to the store and he buys the groceries and he brings them and he puts them right at her front door and rings the bell and hides for a second. And she opens the door and there are the groceries. And immediately she says, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. I prayed and you provided. And then he says, I got her now. He jumps out. He says, the Lord didn't get you those groceries. I bought the groceries for you. And she looks up and prays one more time. She said, Lord, I knew you'd provide for me. I just didn't know the devil was going to pay the bill. The blessing of widows. The blessing of widows. We know this blessing firsthand in our own home. Some of y'all met Miss Geraldine, who's our kid's godmother, who moved here from Baltimore to be with us 6 years ago when we came and has been an incredible blessing to our family and to the community in our house. She's almost 80 years old, but is blessing our family. And one of the things, I thank you guys so much for your prayers. And some of y'all have visited. It's been awesome. The church plant, New City Fellowship West End. There's a third site of New City. It just began in May. And you can pray for us today. Today's our first service in our new building. So that is awesome. And I'm just like, this is terrible. I don't know if you ever pray this. I'm like, Lord, please let people come. It's like, we're in this new building. I don't know if y'all pray that, but I confess that to you. All right. As a preacher. But one of the most powerful things has been right apart. You know, this right across from where we used to meet at the office is an apartment complex called Alpha Terrace, which is a senior living center. And we get at least a dozen people that come across the street that would become a part of the church. It is absolutely amazing. There's one woman that came to Christ just a month or so ago. And this has never happened to me before. She came like during the sermon and it wasn't an altar call. She just came down. She's in a wheelchair because she has half the legs amputated. And somebody pushes her down the aisle and she comes right up while I'm preaching, just like this right now. And she says, I want to know Jesus. So I said, well, I'm not to that part of the sermon yet. I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I didn't really say that. So the sermon stopped. It was almost over anyway. We just stopped and I prayed with her and right there in the middle of the service. And then the next week she comes back and she says to me during the singing, she says, hey, Pastor Thurman, I want to do a song. I said, when? She says, today. I said, all right, what's the song? And she says, everything good that's happened in my life, God did it. And I didn't know that song. So I said, all right, because I didn't want to discourage her. She just came to the Lord the week before. And so I went up during the offering to our worship guy, and I said, hey, do you know this song? He's like, I don't know this song. Because I figured if she couldn't sing, at least he would jump in and make it sound good. He'd fix it. But he said, I don't know. And so I'm like, we're just going to try it. We're just going to do it. And so right before the sermon, I wheeled her up myself. And I brought up to the front, and I was going to introduce her. And she took the microphone out of my hand. And then she started the song. It's this call and response song, where she sings the part and she gets everybody else to sing, God did it. And so she told them how to do it, and then she did it. And the music guys jumped in, and the drummer came up, and they played, and it was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Everything good that happened in my life, God did it. This widow just came to Christ and is blessing the people of God with that song. And one of the guys that's visiting from Covenant Prayers, he comes up to me, he says, man, how long did y'all work on that song? That was amazing. I'm like, bro, you just got to understand how stuff works down here, you know. But it was absolutely awesome. But it was the blessing of widows. And when I say that, what we're talking about today is not only there's a call, there is a call from God, from His Word, for His people to be a blessing to widows in our midst. And we're going to look at that in a second. But more than that, the other part of that is I want us to know, and I'm learning this and seeing this every day, is that widows are a blessing to us. There are people that we meet, there's people in our own house who have a depth of faith like I've never seen before, and who teach us what it means to follow God, what it really means to believe on God's promises, what it really means to know that God is able to do abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. And so listen, we need the blessing of widows in our lives. So what are we going to learn about that? We're going to just look at two things, just two points. And really they're the same, the care of widows. And we're going to look at that generally, like just in the Bible in general. But then the second part is we'll look at that in 1 Timothy 5. All right. So first of all, the care of widows, just in general. What do we see in the Old Testament about the care of widows? What do we see about God? Do you remember our call to worship from Psalm 68? Did you do that on purpose? Amen. See, that's a good pastor right there. Put it up, Psalm 68, and then another Psalm, Psalm 146. Just back two slides. I think it's in there. There you go. This is what it says about God. God is a father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. And then Psalm 146, the Lord watches over the sojourners, or other translations say the aliens. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. This is a part of the very character of God. This is who our God is. That God cares about widows and orphans and aliens and the poor. In the Old Testament, they call that kind of the quartet of the vulnerable. The most vulnerable in society. And often they're the most vulnerable in our society. But widows and aliens and the poor and orphans. And you go to the next one. God not only is about that himself, but he also expects that from his people. In Deuteronomy 10. That's the next one. It says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. And there it is again. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. And he loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. But then in light of who he is, he says to his people, guess what? This is also what I expect from you because you're my people. And you're made in my image. You are to love the sojourner, therefore. And then look at the basis. For you were sojourners yourself in Egypt. He's talking to the people who had been released from slavery in Egypt. He says, that's what you were. And so you need to love them because that's where I brought you from. It's my heart for the sojourners that freed you so that you can know me. So you say, well, is that just the Old Testament? Well, how about in the New Testament? Do we see kind of that same care? Let's think about Jesus. Do you know in Jesus, a couple of Jesus parables, who he makes the heroes of the story? Widows. In a couple of them. Look at the next passage. This is in Mark 12. And he's talking about people are coming up and they're giving these giant offerings in the offering plate. And then Jesus says, a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. And so Jesus makes a widow the hero of his illustration about giving. And then there's another passage in Luke 18 when he wants to teach his disciples about what it means to persevere in prayer. He talks about a widow in Luke 18. He says he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. But then the next part. Go to verse 4. There you go. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And so he says, you want to know what it's like to pray and persevere? Look at this widow instead. So how does Jesus feel about widows? He makes them the hero of his story. But they're not just in stories that he tells. You also see that in his care. In Luke 7, there's three people that we know about that Jesus raised from the dead. One of them is the son of a widow. And as we're reading through Luke, it looks like Jesus and his disciples, they're just on their way somewhere else. And when they're there, they come by a funeral procession. And there's a widow who's burying her son. And what do you think that means? In that, it would be horrible. It is horrible in our culture. But think about in theirs. She already doesn't have her husband, who's going to be the primary source of income. But now the son has also died. And so think about this widow. She's lost her husband and her son. She's burying both of them. And think about what it means for her future. And so then in that passage in Luke 7, it says in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said, do not weep. Now, unless he's going to do something about it, that's a cruel thing to say. What do you mean, don't weep? But he is going to do something about it. Look at the next verse. It says, then he came up and he touched the bier or the coffin, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. And so you want to see his care for widows right there. One more example from Jesus. When he's hanging on a cross. And we believe that his father, his earthly father, Joseph, has probably died by this time. Because you don't see him anymore after Jesus is a kid. But think about all that Jesus has gone through, all that he's about to go through. And yet, when he's on the cross, he sees his mother, a widow, and he works to provide for her while he's hanging on a cross. Put up the verse from John 19. It says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son, talking about John. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He's been spit upon, mocked, unjustly sentenced to die, hung on a cross to die, about to die, mocked and ridiculed while he's hanging on a cross. And the thing that's in his mind is, who's going to take care of my mama? Who's going to take care of this widow? And he makes a way to do so. What about the people of God? Is this a concern for them in the New Testament? In Acts chapter 6, there's a controversy that happened. But what is the controversy about? It's because they're caring for widows in their midst. And one group is overlooked by the other. And so they don't say, oh, just forget the ministry altogether. They come up with a solution, and it leads to the beginning of forming a diaconal board or deacons. But it starts with their care for widows. And finally, go ahead and put up James 1. Here's one more verse, last verse. This is what James says pure religion is. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. How do we usually think about it? Sometimes, how do we talk about Christianity? Right? When I was a kid, when I was growing up, I was thinking, all right, that means now you can't do this stuff anymore. Right? It's only thinking about that other section to keep oneself unstained by the world. That's stuff you don't do. But then the flip side of that is there's stuff that we do. And that is to care for the oppressed, to care for the poor, to care for widows. And he says that's what pure religion looks like. That's what gospel living looks like. Is it manifests itself in care for those who are the most vulnerable in society. And the widows are a huge part of that. And so is this something that we see in the Bible, the care of widows? Yes. So application, before we go to the last point. First application, praise God. Praise God because of who He is. This is our God. This is the God who spoke the universe into existence. But He cares about each and every widow and orphan and alien in His midst. Praise God. This is the God that we have. When you were a kid, didn't you often, you would want to brag about your daddy, or you'd brag about your mama. Well, here, you can brag about Almighty God. This is the God that you serve. Praise God. You can praise Him. It's all right. This ain't just a rhetorical suggestion. But here's the other thing. Maybe there are those of you that are widows in our midst. Or maybe you're not a widow, but you're like one in that you feel you're in those categories that get passed over and stepped on, that are the most vulnerable, that nobody else sees. Well, I don't know what everybody else sees, but you know what this says is God sees. God sees you. He sees you in your pain. He sees you in your tears. He sees you when nobody else does. Do you understand that today? God sees you. Maybe nobody else does. Maybe everybody else wants to pass by you, but He doesn't. Almighty God sees who you are, and He cares about who you are. What else can we take away? Take inventory of our own lives and our own ministries. And what I mean by that is, do we see this care in us? Do we see this kind of care in our own churches? Do we see it in our own lives? And I say that, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, that you know, reaching out to Alpha Terrace, that was not a part of our strategy. We gave no thought to that at all. We didn't try to do anything. I mean, we didn't do a sign, nothing. But God's Spirit moved and He brought people there. Praise be to God for that. But we didn't try to do it. God's Spirit did it. What if we actually did some of this on purpose? What if we did what God told us to do? And then you say, well, man, I'm convicted by that because honestly, I don't have a heart like that. What do? Bathe in the gospel. Bathe yourself in the gospel of Jesus. What do I mean? My youngest son, some of y'all know Caleb, is playing football for the first time in his life. He's playing high school football. And one of the things I told Caleb, I said, sometimes like when you have a game or like a rough practice, like you're going to be so dirty that you need to take two showers. I'm serious. Like one of them just to get yourself ready for the second one to get clean. Like that's how dirty and messed up you get. You got to do some serious showering to get clean. The same thing is true for us. We got to bathe ourselves in the gospel of Jesus over and over again. Do you remember when he called the people to look out for the aliens, why did he do it? He said, that's what you were. When he calls us to look out for the vulnerable, he says, that's what you were. When he calls you to look out for orphans, that's what you were. When he calls us to look out for the poor, that's where I found you. Bathe yourself in the gospel of Jesus. We get to do that in the Lord's Supper every week when we celebrate it, but I mean every day. Bathing yourself in the gospel, reminding yourself of what he's done for you to bring you from nothing, to take you dead. You thought it was impressive that Jesus raised the dead boy. Think about what he did to you. He raised you from the dead too. Bathe in the gospel. All right. Second thing. I'm going to go through the second one quickly. And that's the care of widows. Look at this passage. First Timothy 5. First in verse 3. This is kind of a general statement. It says, honor widows who are truly widows. And the word there, I learned this. And what he's talking about honor is literally provide for. Provide assistance to show them the respect that they deserve. And so then he talks to three groups really in this passage. I'm sorry, I'm going to go through it quickly. But he basically is saying this is what the gospel's impact should be. First of all, on those who care for widows. Pick up with verse 4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household. And to make some return to their parents. Did y'all ever have your parents who would say, you know all that I've done for you? Parents, we break that out too, don't we? But it's true, we have. We have done a lot. My parents did an incredible amount. But it says actually do something in light of that. To make their return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. But then he goes on, if you skip down to verse 8. He says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In that while, you've got somebody in need in your own family, a widow in need in your own midst, and you won't provide for them. He says, you're living like an unbeliever because you're not living the impact of the gospel that it should have in your life. So that's first for the family members. What about what he calls older widows themselves? So if you look at verse 5, it says, she who is truly a widow left all alone. And then it begins to describe a lot of these people that we're meeting. They have set their hope on God. Have you ever met a praying grandmother and continues in supplications and prayers night and day? I meet so many of those now in our midst. Maybe if you've worked in Workday, you've been involved with some ladies like this that are praying grandmamas that will pray night and day, literally. But then the flip side of that is verse 6. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. And then as you go down a little bit later, verse 9. And it's interesting here because he gives the same, very similar qualifications to the widows as he does the elders in chapter 3. In verse 9, let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years old. And then he says, having been the wife of one husband. Verse 10, having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality. And I was looking up that word. You know what it means? It's literally taking care of strangers when it's talking about hospitality right there. It's not talking about just hosting people at your house, having your friends and family over. That's good. We should do that. But when it talks about hospitality here, it's talking about care for strangers, people that don't have family, people that nobody else will take in. I was just talking with somebody. We had a new members class yesterday, and they were talking about Miss Lovey. You know Miss Lovey. Some of y'all heard about Miss Lovey. But she just talked about a little bit how she's done that her whole life. How she took in somebody who was a foster child, who a woman that was involved in prostitution couldn't care for the child anymore, so she just gave her to Miss Lovey. And Lovey said, child, you're going to go to college. And those of you who know Miss Lovey, you know when Miss Lovey says you're going to do something, you're going to do it. And that child went to college. She's living this out. And then in the rest of verse 10, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. Do you have widows like that in your midst? They are in your community. Maybe you don't know them yet, but you will. Be a blessing to them, but also they are a blessing to you. And then finally, this last group that he talks about, how should the gospel impact what he calls these younger widows? If we pick up with verse, let me look at my notes. I lost it for a second. With verse 11, thank you. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry. You say, wait a minute, marriage is a good thing. What are you saying? Well, we got to keep reading verse 12. And he explains a little bit about what he's talking about. And so they incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. And I still didn't understand what he was saying, but faith here, when I looked that up, it's not talking about their Christian faith. What it's talking about is some kind of vow or commitment that they made in terms of the way that they were going to live. And it says now they're going against what they had said earlier. And so verse 12, so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Verse 13, remember we were saying they got some Real Housewives of Ephesus up in here. And you see that in verse 13. Besides that, they learn to be idlers. That means that their job is not working. Going about from house to house. So Paul says you go from house to house to share the gospel, but that's not why they're going from house to house. And not only idlers, but they're gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So what should they do, Paul? You being all negative, what should they do? All right, he says, verse 14. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. And then finally in verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are really widows. Okay, so these are the very specific instructions that he gives. What can we take away? One, knowing God's concern for widows and his call to us to also be concerned. Look for the widows around us. Do we know who the widows are in our own congregations? How about in our own geographic community and our own neighborhood? Up in the West End, one of the powerful parts of Workday has been able to get to know many of the widows in our community. And it's so interesting. I hear this story all the time, and I just got the new city. But their groups will come with all this exuberance. They're so excited that they get to go and sit with the widows and serve them. And they do serve. It's amazing. Although this one lady said yesterday, you know, they came and they painted my house and it really wasn't that good. But, but they had really good hearts. Like they meant well. But then they come away going, we sat down and they said, child, let me pray for you. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about growing in Jesus amidst everything else around me falling apart. And so those same groups that came there to serve end up leaving the place being served and being changed. And they think, I'm going to go share my faith with people in the city. And then they come away going, the people in the city taught me about Jesus in ways that I would have never known. So first, know the widows and care for the ones around us and receive what they have to teach us. Here's the second thing, is affirm the God-given dignity of family members by looking to them first to care for their family. There was a story, I think, Roy, this is a ministry in New Orleans that was telling me this. They had started out and they bought Christmas gifts to give to the children. And so they went, one of the things they would find is they would take the Christmas gifts and they would go to the house to give them. And one of the, there was a phenomenon that they would notice is that when they would come in the front door, the fathers would go out the back door. Why? Because they would feel ashamed because they weren't able to provide for their kids. And so they stopped doing it that way. Instead, what they did is one of those like angel tree projects where they would sell the gifts at a very, very, very tiny low cost. But they would give the family the dignity of buying them so that they could provide them for their own kids. And so I'm not saying here give people dignity because they already got it. Because they're made in the image and likeness of God. And the circumstances of life don't take that away. And whatever they've done, that doesn't take away the fact that they're made in the image of God. And so I'm not saying go give people dignity because they already got it. God did that. Instead, we affirm the dignity that God has already given. Come alongside those that might fit into this category that Paul calls younger widows, because they also are in a vulnerable place. What he talks about here in this passage is they're vulnerable to temptations and people taking advantage of them because they're hurting and because they're alone and they need someone to provide. And so come alongside. Maybe you meet some of those ladies that pass up and down the street that have been sold a bill of goods to say that the only valuable thing about that, about them, is their bodies. And so they use that as a commodity instead. But what if we came alongside? That's what he's talking about here in this passage. And then lastly, what do we do? Earlier in the sermon, I talked about the example of Jesus. And we learn much from the example of Jesus, right? Both what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. Yes, we should learn from the example of Jesus. But don't stop there. Don't just look to the example of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. We also need to ultimately go to the work of Jesus himself. One of my favorite stories is in Matthew 25, when Jesus gives that image of the kingdom of God. And he said that the king, it's going to be like somebody that comes and they separate the sheep and the goats. I can't remember right or left, but the sheep are the good ones. They're the right. The goats on the left. That's right. And then he says to them, do you remember? He says, for you come and enjoy the banquet prepared for me by my father. Because when I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was in prison, you looked after me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And it's interesting because do you remember how they responded? They were surprised. They said, this is great news, but when did we see you sick and hungry and in prison and thirsty and all, and do these things for you? What is that saying? It's saying they weren't doing those things because they were trying to earn anything from Jesus. They're just doing it because that's what Jesus people do. But you remember what he says? He says, as you've done to the least of these, so you've done to me. And so when we care for those that society would term and treat as the least of these, we're caring for them, but we get to love Jesus himself. But then think about, where do we most see Jesus? Naked and a prisoner and hungry and thirsty. Where do we see that the most? The place that we see that more than any other is when he's hanging on a cross. That's when we see him as a prisoner. That's when we see him hungry. That's when we see him thirsty. That's when we see him sick. And he was saying, as you've done to the least of these, so you do to me. So you're doing to me right now. So that the least of these can become a part of my family. In 2 Corinthians 8, one of the things that Paul points to to get people to give. He doesn't try to put him on a guilt trip. He puts him on a grace trip instead. He says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though being rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's where we find the strength and the power to be able to love the widows and all the vulnerable that are around us. Because looking continually at how Jesus Christ has done and continues to do that for us, he's seated now at the right hand of the throne of God, where he lives to intercede for us in the things that he's called us to do now, and blessing the widows around us and being blessed by them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the one who was treated for us as the very least of these, so that we could be clothed, that we could be fed, so that we could be set free, so that we can have life instead of death. Lord, we thank you that we were the most vulnerable, and yet you came and you gave yourself for us so we can have life. Lord, may that be reflected in how we live, particularly in how we treat the widows in our midst, both in our congregation and outside. And we pray that you might be glorified, that the world around us might see that what we do is different. This is what it means to be salt and light, as we talked about earlier. May you be glorified by all that, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.